Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, these are the big storylines for the game on Sunday between the Jags and the Texans as we welcome you into the 7 o'clock hour here on a Football Friday. We'll get to the Circle of Swarm for this week a little later on in this segment. We've got a nice long segment. If you're in your car, get comfy. We're going to be here. We're going to be here for the next 35 minutes educating you people, and you're going to sit and listen to it. And you're going to like it, all right? So we got to instill some discipline.
Nothing
here.
Gets people excited like education.
That's right.
Yeah,
learning.
If you think the programming on PBS has gone to trash, then tune in here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The biggest storylines for Sunday, in no particular order, the return of Christian Kirk, and I'll throw Braxton Berrios in there too. But Kirk is, you know, the hamstring slot receivers. He's the headliner here. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday, I believe 2 days ago, on getting guys back healthy.
It's good to get our guys back, you know, getting Christian back, Berrios, Jake. It's good to see them back out at practice today. We'll continue to see how the week goes for them, but it's encouraging to see them out there today working. Hopefully they can help us on Sunday.
Okay, how does it feel, Seth, that the return of a wide receiver two who's never taken a snap with the Texans in the regular season,
yeah,
that it feels like we're trying to talk ourselves into this being a revelation right now.
I don't know if I think we've been pretty transparent about it. Look, I don't expect that Christian Kirk is going to end up being all pro this year or anything.
I'm with you there.
But that when you're trying to run this offense and you're without Joe Mixon, I just have to keep reminding myself, they don't have Joe Mixon and I think Nick Chubb
and
is
may not for a while.
Right, we don't have a clue. We're not even sure that D'Amico Ryans even knows where
Joe Mixon is. We hope he's doing
well. The last phrase that D'Amico said about Joe Mixon was, "We hope he's doing well."
Right, right,
like, all right.
Like he's in Aruba or something.
Yeah, or it's your ex girlfriend you've lost touch with.
Yeah, we haven't
heard
from him in a long time.
Right,
yeah.
So we don't know. And so it becomes a bigger deal. If Joe Mixon were still out there, it becomes a bigger deal that Christian Kirk's not out there because you can replicate some of the running game with the short and quick passing game. Christian Kirk's great in that regard. Braxton Berrios can be an asset in that regard. So it's a bigger deal because then you've got the saying, you know, people always say when you look at a wide receiver's room, you want it to be like a basketball team. You want to have your tall guys, like your front court guys like Nico Collins and Jaden Higgins, yeah. But you want your back court guys, which would be like Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios. And those guys, just like it is with a point guard, experience matters. You know, and the slot receiver position, it's tough for younger guys like Jalen Noel to really be able to do everything you want to do with them because there's a lot of mental work involved with it. So for this offense and what it's lacking and missing, that you're already down an electrically athletic or fast and explosive running back, and you're also really down a veteran slot receiver.
Yes.
So now at least you add that element back to it. I think that Nick Caley can hopefully do a lot with that.
Revenge game for Christian Kirk. They were ready to dump him. Remember?
Yeah.
That's how he wound up on the Texans. The Texans gave a 7th-round pick or something
for him. Intradivisional trade.
Yeah, man.
Interdivisional.
Make Gladstone pay for trading you Christian Kirk.
Cocky young guy coming in, smartest guy in the room he is.
Yep.
Everybody,
that's what he tells
he knows
you.
He's just going to work everybody over. He's going to get old man Caserio to bite on, to give me a seventh round pick for Christian Kirk.
You know, I know he's the smartest guy in the room. He told me he is.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So that's storyline number one, the return of Christian Kirk. Number two, back to the scene of the crime.
Second down and 7 from the Jags' 49-yard line. One back ETN. Lawrence under center this time, and he fakes the give. Boots out to the left. Lawrence wants to run. He will. 50 and slides down across the 45, and here's Azeez making a late hit. Flags come in from everywhere, and there's a lot of extra pushing and shoving as Ingram and Azeez and other Jags get into it, and Azeez hits the ground. They got to throw another flag here on the Jags.
And Trevor Lawrence has got a concussion. He is out.
Yep. He took a bad hit, and Jimmy Ward's in there. They're going to... I think people are going to leave this game.
They're still going.
Yeah.
We're good, Ben. Right. People know what the incident was.
Yeah. I talked to Bucky Brooks yesterday, he does the sideline for the Jaguars radio broadcast, and I kind of asked him, so what's the reception going to be like for Azeez Alshire? And Bucky made a good point immediately, which is, you know, the fan reaction is going to be the fan reaction. You know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's Bucky, and this jives with what we heard from Jaguars players after the game. It doesn't seem like the players are all that worked up about it. I mean, you didn't. The Jaguars players interviewed about it afterwards kind of were like, it's football. It happens, you know? I can't remember a Jaguars player that was outraged or up in arms that Azeez Alshire hit Trevor Lawrence when Trevor Lawrence extended the play far longer than he should have.
That's the thing. Like, what I remember about the reaction was on the debate shows with the media people, Azeez was Satan and he was the devil.
Yeah.
Within the NFL, especially with defensive players, there was not this rallying to the cause for Trevor Lawrence. There were plenty of people who pointed out that the dude slid kind of late.
Yeah. Like, he was trying to get a first down.
You're protected by the rules of sliding, but don't try to push the boundaries of it.
Trevor
if you're
Lawrence
protected,
doing
get
the,
down.
He was doing the Pat Mahomes thing. The problem is he's only about 10% as good as Pat Mahomes. So it's not like, but people have that same mindset where they're like, I'm tired of quarterbacks trying to basically flout the rules to get away or exploit the rules to get away with not with being overly protected.
My favorite part about that cut was Andre Ware diagnosing the concussion 7 seconds after the hit.
Yeah.
Dr. Neurologist Andre Ware, Trevor Lawrence is concussed. Like, he just looked at an MRI or something. Yeah,
but as far as the players on the field, from the quotes of the defensive players on the Jaguars, kind of the read I got, I was like, man, these guys do not believe in Trevor Lawrence. I got to think, you just watch year after year after year with a guy that gets chance after chance after chance and has been heralded as this generational player, but he's injured all the time.
Got paid.
He's airmailing and throwing.
Got paid.
He's just not it, you know?
Nope.
I don't think he's had multiple opportunities to show that he's it.
Cannot lose to him this weekend. Here was Liam Cohen talking about this being the... He wasn't there for this last year. Cohen was the OC in Tampa, so he's kind of walking into this about this being the first meeting since Azeez's hit on Trevor Lawrence last year.
Yeah, we talked just now as a team and really just talked about the focus being on us, and we need it to be. We don't have time to waste energy or emotional energy on anything else besides fixing and correcting the issues and mistakes from our game and putting our effort into, you know, we got a huge in-division opponent this week. Yes, we have an opponent we have to play and prepare for, but we really have to focus on us right now and get some of this stuff cleaned up that we, you know, messed up yesterday, coaches, players, everybody. But, you know, I think at this point, it's so early. Like there may be, who knows what emotions, I can't speak to that, but I can say that these guys, I think they'll come in with the right mindset and mentality this week to come and get this thing right in terms of things we got to get fixed and be ready to go play a tough physical game that we're going to go have to play on Sunday.
I need Azeez to get a legal hard hit in this game early
on Liam Cohen.
Fine. I don't think there's any world where that exists. But yeah,
where is the clean legal hit?
The
on
clean
Liam
legal
Cohen?
Hit on the opposing head coach. No,
that is, you know, the Jaguars. That stadium is where Woody Hayes punched the player.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. In Jacksonville, huh?
Yeah, that happened at the Gator Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Against Clemson.
So there is precedent of coach and player violence.
Coach kerfuffles, yeah. No, but like a tight end over the middle, you know, Brenton Strange is coming over the middle and Aziz lays a shoulder into him, like a legal hit.
Ryan Thomas Jr. is petrified of contact.
Well, he should be in this game. Yeah. And it ain't just Aziz. Like, it's
right. No,
it's
that's Kamari. It's an issue there in Jacksonville. They're wondering why does Brian Thomas Jr. look terrified to play the game of football?
Right. At least get your second contract before you start getting terrified, Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, get paid first, at least. No, but I want to see a big hit from Aziz early just to see what the crowd react is.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's legal, because you know they're going to boo. Boo.
And there have been some really good hits on special teams so far in this Texans season.
Yeah,
EJ Speed's had some really nice ones. We've had some good special teams hits. There were some good hits in the game the other night, but am I forgetting one on defense where that was particularly vicious?
No.
Okay, so
not that I can think
they
of.
Need to get that. They need to check that box, and then maybe things will start to fall into
place. A lot of attempts at big hits that just didn't materialize.
That's the problem.
Called missed tackles.
Okay, you know what? You're right. I don't want to see any big hits. I want to see form tackles.
You're right. What am I saying? We need form tackles. Okay, so that's storyline number two. Number one, return of Christian Kirk. Number two, Aziz back to the scene of the crime. Number three, this is a simple one. The Texans just have to avoid going 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
Seth brought this up earlier. We'll bring it up again. One team this century, that's 25 seasons so far, all right, people? This century has started 0-3 and made the playoffs. And it was the 2018 effing Houston Texans, man. Bill O'Brien. That's the only team that started 0-3. So the upshot of all that is, if you go 0-3, generally speaking, it means you're a bad football team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, other than the 2018 Texans, who, by the way, needed a few miracles along the way just to get back to 3-3. Remember that was the season where they're 0-3 and Frank Reich goes for it on fourth down in overtime,
and then
handed them a short field to win the game. And then you had the DeAndre Hopkins spin-a-rooney in overtime against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then to get to 3-3, you had the pick six by Jonathan Joseph against the Bills.
Yeah.
Off of Nathan Peterman.
Jonathan Joseph was still playing then.
Yeah. Playing at a high level, too.
Yeah.
Enough to get a pick six to get you back to 3-3. And then the next week, Deshaun Watson was on a bus to Jacksonville while the rest of the team was flying.
Good for you. Good on you, by the way, and remembering to count
nine
game
winning streak. Yeah.
And saying that it's been 25 seasons.
Yeah, man.
I always screw that one up.
Yeah, you always got to add an extra year.
I'm not so dumb that I like try to well actually people on it. Yeah. No, you count the year 2000. It's been 25 seasons.
Part of this century, all right?
Yeah.
Can't start 0-3, man. Cannot. Because the mood around this team is pretty dour right now.
Right, yeah. I don't sense that the mood on the team is dour or anything.
But like all of us.
Yeah, no, because that's the whole thing. It's not like, obviously, as evidenced by the 2018 Houston Texans, it's not like it's a death blow because you just physiologically can't come back from it. It's usually an indicator that you just don't have a very good team.
Yep.
That you're 0-3. And then on top of that,
I was shocked only one team.
I think this is what happens. I think it's it goes into NBA playoffs psychology. It's that if you are a good team and you start off 0-2, you've got guys that feel their backs against the wall, you know, and that like you come out and there's just an extra level, just like a team in the playoffs. If their back is against the wall in the NBA playoffs, like it so often happens that, all right, they're not going to lose this game. That's how I think a good team doesn't allow itself to go 0-3. Certainly not when you're facing the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I do not want to have a week leading up to that Titans game of 0-3 talk. I just can't. I can't have it, man. So you got to avoid that
with potentially the Colts at 3-0.
Yeah, they play the Titans this weekend.
Yeah,
The Colts, in all likelihood, are going to be 3-0. The Texans, by the way, 1.5, 2-point underdogs. It's been floating between 2 and 1.5. So the odds makers are saying the Texans are going to lose the game. So we'll see. So that's storyline number three. Got to avoid being winless after this weekend. Number four, our first look at Travis Hunter. Do not be the team that allows the magnificent Gladstone's vision for Travis Hunter to begin to take hold. Because thus far, two games in, it's been underwhelming. He's got 9 catches, Travis Hunter does. Heisman Trophy winner, who we were told is going to change the sport of football itself, has 3 tackles on defense, and he's got 9 catches for 55 yards on offense.
Also got a defensive pass interference.
He has a DPI, a big one last week. Here was D'Amico Ryans earlier this week when he was asked, how do you prepare for Travis Hunter?
Yeah, for Travis, we play. Like, we have to do us better. So it's not us just singling out one player. He's definitely a part of what they do, and they will try to feature him, but we don't overextend ourselves to try to chase ghosts or anything. He aligns all over the place. He'll be in every position. They're going to find ways to get in the ball. We just have to play sound and what we do defensively, and just we have to make the plays we're supposed to make. And when they do, put him on the defensive side at the corner position. You see, he made a really nice play there on the sideline, breaking up a pass. You talk about a talented player. I mean, you see why he's drafted, where he's drafted, the impact he's had at both places he was at, you know, at Jackson State and also at Colorado. You see the impact that the kid has made. Outstanding young man, outstanding player. And it's really cool to see a guy be able to play on both sides of the football and in National Football League, where a lot of people say it can't be done. But it's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he still hasn't done it in such a way that can't be. I think there are 578 players in the NFL right now who could have done what Travis Hunter has done so far in the NFL. Like, yeah, they could play both sides of the ball and not make much of an impact.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Like he's just a guy right now. When you're looking at him as a receiver, you're looking at him as a defensive just back, you're not accounting for him or thinking, oh, no, we got to change our game plan. He's just a guy. Now, the upside, obviously, is there, and people think that that's there. But the way he's been used so far, very early in his rookie season, is that, all right, he's had a – the last week he was pretty evenly split on offense and defense, didn't make much of an impact, and we'll see. But they, you don't want to be the team that he uses as his breakout game, obviously.
No. And I think the saving grace there is two things. One, we know the Texans defense is supremely talented, especially on the back end. Number two, they've played Carolina and Cincinnati the first two games. Those are two bad defensive teams.
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to get anything going with Travis Hunter.
Right.
So I'm hopeful that with the talent level and with D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke thinking some things up, just don't, and if don't let him break out because they're swinging little screens to him and you're missing
tackles.
And you're
not tackling on a 123-pound wide receiver.
Yes, yes.
That's the big thing.
Yep.
And also, look, that commercial of him and Trevor Lawrence doing the footloose dance.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I tried to like that. I give them credit for just going with it.
Let's hear it for the boy.
Yeah, they're doing the Footloose. Let's hear it for the boy. And I don't know if, like, I never saw the remake of Footloose. I don't know if they do the same dance sequence with the same song or whatever, but it's a rough one, man. Very cringy.
It is a cringy commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. And it didn't even make Five Reasons I Hate. I mean, it kind of made Five Reasons I Hate You. We'll do that in an hour. My last one, five storylines. Travis Hunter's number four. Can this game be the elixir for the drama that feels like it's starting to swirl around this team a little bit? This was D'Amico Ryans being asked, is the feeling around the offense right now the same as the feeling around the offense last season?
Yeah, I do not. I think we are much better. I think our O-line has done a really good job, much better than everybody kind of gives them credit for. We've done a really good job picking up stunts, things like that. And a guy here, a guy there gets beat. That's football. That's going to happen. So is it the same issues that we had? No, it's completely new. Our guy's doing a really good job of executing. We just got to finish the game, right? If we finish the game the right way, I don't think anybody's asking the same questions. It's just that's natural. That comes with it when you lose, and I'm ready to handle all of that. That happens in this league. And, well, you just got to win games, and the story changes, right? So until we win games, I know we'll get those same questions, and we should get them, right? Because we got to do a better job of playing and finishing games. And until we do that, then I understand the questions that we'll receive.
And I think maybe they would be different or slightly different. But if the Texans had won both of those last two games, I think you'd still be wondering what's going on with the offense.
He underestimates the capacity for the media to still ask about an offense that only scored 19 points.
As far as the offensive line goes, I mean, the big question mark right now is, all right, Laken Tomlinson seems to be your latest Shaq Mason. And that, boy, I mean, he had a couple snaps in that game where it looked like when Shaq Mason got tossed aside by Tavondre Sweat against the Titans last year. And that's been an issue. D'Amico talked about how, I think Landry had asked about how do you help out the offensive line. And D'Amico, I credit him for this answer. He said, some of us just, you got to win your one-on-one battles. Mm-hmm. Like, there's only so much we can do. And that's going to be the trouble with this offense, the way that they're run, especially in the run game, is some of it is, hey, we're expecting these guys to physically beat guys like Vita Vea.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have a guy in the interior right now that's really physical, capable of giving Vita Vea a battle. Or now Eric Armstead, perhaps this, because Eric Armstead played outside a lot last year for the Jaguars defense. wasn't as effective. This year he's back playing defensive tackle. So this is a big test for the Texans offensive line. Damn. Again, this week on the interior, that they've got a guy that's like basically just bigger, physically more impressive, better football player than the guys on the interior.
Yep. All right, so those are the five storylines. We'll get to the circle of swarm in just a second. I want to stick with this because we're talking about the game. We're digging into this game on Sunday. You and Cecil had Bucky Brooks on your podcast.
Yeah, no, and Cecil had to do actual educating of children. So it was just me and Bucky
Brooks.
You
and Bucky? Okay.
On the Believe in Texans podcast, yeah.
Nice.
So I got to ask him about just how are they using Travis Hunter right now? I was very, very intrigued with his answer.
The plan, I would say, is very similar to a high school athlete. The bigger the game, the way the matchups are, Travis, we may need you more on defense to go with offense. Hey, this is one where we feel like we may not need you as much on defense, so you got the full load. Last week against the Bengals, those two wide receivers are problems. Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, they had an injury go down early, so Travis had to play more defense. But the reason he's able to really do the two-way thing, they're more of a zone-based team. And so when you're zone-based, you're not running all over the field, chasing the guy. You're playing vision and break. There's a way to kind of monitor the physical exertion while playing to his strengths as a see-ball, get-ball defender. So it works in Jacksonville because the scheme kind of fits his talents, and they haven't had to exhaust him because the matchups haven't dictated that, hey, man, we need you 100 plays on offense and 100 plays on defense.
And we didn't have much time for a full count. We probably should have done the entire episode on Travis Hunter. But my thought was after I didn't think of this until after we were done talking, was a zone two corner, a cover two corner doesn't sound like a guy who's redefining the game.
No.
Like, hey, we can play him on defense because he can play
in zone.
Yeah. And I guess and the one question I should have asked too, or if we had more time to talk about it, is like, I don't know if physiologically he doesn't look like a zone corner. You know,
no.
He's not a big dude
he's
whatsoever.
He's very slight of build.
Yeah, so I think that it just still feels like a novelty act to me.
Dude.
And it feels like he's a Swiss Army knife. Awesome. You know what I would, you know, if I had to confront two dudes and one had a Swiss Army knife and one guy had a machete.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight the guy with a Swiss Army knife. They're like, oh, Izzy's fumbling and he accidentally just pulls out the scissors instead of the blade or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, like as of right now, the way they're using him, cool. It's cool that he does all that, but where does he threaten you,
dude? That pick was the magnificent Gladstone trying to get himself over and win April.
Right.
That's what that felt like to me at the time, and it feels two games in. It feels that way. That. Man, I'm going to trade all this draft capital, and you know what's going to happen Monday? Everybody's going to be talking about me and talking about the Jags.
How bold we are and the way we move.
The way we move. And you know why they're going to say it? Because I'm going to tell them this is all about the way we move. Gladstone, we're going to play that audio later because, as you can imagine, Gladstone shows up in Five Reasons I Hate You.
Okay, so if Bucky's saying there, they kind of treat it like in a high school game. Or a high school, you got a star player who can go both ways, but you really, really need him on one side of the ball. Where do they need Travis Hunter the most versus the Texans?
That offense is a hard one. We've seen that offense.
Sorry, Ben. I was
asking me?
I was asking Sean.
I thought you were asking me, and then
the audio started
playing.
No, sorry. I was like, why? What's going on here?
I think that's interesting because they're getting Kirk. They're getting Kirk and Berrios back. Does Hunter play inside, or is he? I mean, is he? I would say they probably need him more offensively.
I would think so.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I would think more
and
offensively.
Yet versus two bad defenses so far, they haven't found much reason to use him or opportunity to use him versus two bad defenses.
Yeah, yeah. I would say offensively they need him more right now. Which intrigues you more? Him covering. I'll give you specific. Are you more intrigued by watching Travis Hunter go one-on-one with Derek Stingley Jr. on offense?
Yeah.
Or trying to cover Nico Collins on defense?
Derek Stingley's going to eat him up. That.
So will
that,
Nico.
That. But this is the problem. They're not going to track. Okay, Travis Hunter, there's not a chance in hell. The Texans are up there saying, like, we need Derek Stingley to shadow Travis Hunter.
Kamari Lassiter.
No. That's what I mean, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if, like, you're not going to see that many one-on-one matchups.
Yeah.
You're more concerned about Brian Thomas Jr. than you are anybody else, I think. So, I'm intrigued. I want to see Travis Hunter on defense.
Yeah.
And I want to see him trying to tackle Nico Collins.
No, I do too.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
I do too. The reason I answer the question, do they need it more on offense and defense, there's nothing about the Texans' offense so far that tells me another team has to have this to stop them.
Yeah, you know? So I guess theoretically, if Travis Hunter was actually performing the way that the magnificent Gladstone promised us he would, they would say we need him on offense because we need that Texans' defense. Despite some of these little inefficiencies they've got early on, that's the scarier part of the Texans team right now.
Yep.
And they could probably use him on special teams.
We need more cheat codes on offense against
this defense. I think he plays more snaps on offense.
I 100% agree.
This is, I talked to Bucky Brooks about, the Texans offense and how, Nick Caley is definitely feels more like a New England coach. And we've known that for a while now. Todd Bowles said as much in his press conference, and that got a lot of run, but this feels like Nick Caley's trying to replicate the Tom Brady offense more so than anything. Bucky Brooks talked about the challenges of implementing an offense like that.
That offense is a hard one. We've seen that offense, and people try to use that offense outside of New England.
Yeah.
It's been kind of clunky in other places. It's a high IQ offense. It requires all 11 to be on the same page because as you talk about the choice routes and those things, everyone has to see the same thing. And that is a time on task deal to be able to get out. How many reps do you have to see it? And the quarterbacks and the receivers see things at the same eyes. That is a lot. And then with the running game, normally the running game takes a little while to get going because, look, there's no physicality in the offseason. Training camp has been scaled down, so it's hard to get into, hey, we're going to impose our will. Normally the running game gets clicking week 8 and beyond. They have enough time. They have enough talent. But it literally is Nick looking at what he has. What's best for us this week? Okay, let's do this week. Now, can we add a piece to it the following week? It may be remove some of it so we can get, like, shrink the menu a little bit. Let's get good at this, and then let's slowly add to it instead of trying to use the entire playbook.
Yeah. We can't, Sean. Week 8. We'll be fine.
I'm out. Seth saw me. I saw that. I go, week 8.
Week 8.
Season will be over by then, man.
And everything you said there is true, and yet it's not what I want to hear right this moment. Choice routes, for those of you who don't know, just basically the wide receiver has to alter his route based on what coverage he sees. And that's all very true. The part that I'm frustrated with a little bit is that the times where it seems like CJ and Nico or CJ and Xavier Hutchinson are on the same page. Because, all right, he's got a relationship with those guys. He's been with them all offseason. Didn't participate for most of OTAs, which I was told wasn't a big deal. But they don't always look like they're on the same page right now. But the run game will get going around week 8.
Week 8, Bucky.
Watching the Bills offensive line last night right off the bat, just moving the line of scrimmage.
This is another season where these good teams.
They were trucking those Dolphins defensive linemen, man.
It just looks so easy for him.
Also helps when you've got an offensive line on run plays. It's just driving guys like displacing the line of scrimmage.
And you got James Cook back there who, when it's not blocked properly, can still go get you a big chunk play.
Yeah, that's right. Woody Marks just they need to keep using him more.
Yes.
He's you can trust him in pass protection more so than a lot of these veterans.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's a good segue. Let's do the Circle of Swarm. We're a little late on it.
Oh, no.
But we can get it in. We can get it in 7 minutes, I think. Let's do it. Circle of Swarm.
What we're looking for is players, right, who are looking to swarm.
The swarm mindset, that whole mentality.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do. Everything that they do.
Who's in?
This is a special group of men. Believe it.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Swarm.
All right, we picked the swarmiest players based largely on last week's game with a look ahead to the next opponent, the Jags, on Sunday. That was good stuff with Bucky Brooks, man. That was good insight on the Jags.
Yeah, it's the Believe in Texans podcast.
There you
after
go.
after all of our program today is done, you should go listen to it on a Saturday.
There you go. All right, so let's do it. You go first, my man.
Oh, I get it first. Oh, Will Anderson. second in the league right now in ESPN's pass rush win rate.
He had 10 pressures in that. Did it feel like Will Anderson had 10 pressures in that game against Baker Mayfield
Not
in the Bucs?
10. 10 is a lot.
10's a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 is a lot. And now the only
there were a few plays though. There were a few plays, including that Bucky Irving catch and run at the end of the game where Will is just a fraction of a second.
Okay. I'm glad he had 10 pressures in the game and one or two sacks in that game.
One sack. Yeah.
Daniil
had
If it weren't Will Anderson, my God, if people didn't so much universally love him, Will Anderson tackling Baker Mayfield after Baker rushes for a first down.
He points up in the sky.
And Will thinking he got a sack.
Yeah, well, you got to look at the marker, dude.
I know. Will is celebrating the sack as Baker Mayfield celebrating the first down.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll see your Will Anderson Jr., and I'll put Danielle Hunter in there, who got his 100th sack of his career, had two sacks in the game, two TFLs in the game. Danielle Hunter forced a fumble that if the Texans could have fallen on it, might have changed some things in the fourth quarter there when Baker was out of the pocket on a scramble. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, of all the things on this team that have not been – for all the things on this team that have not been up to what we were hoping for this year, those two do not fit into that category. They have been outstanding this year so far.
Okay, next one. This is going to be, I'm grading on a curve a little bit here, but this guy needs to just have everybody else around him follow suit and play the way he did.
Yeah.
Ed Ingram, right guard.
Oh, look at that.
Ed Ingram did some really good things.
Did it take us to get an offensive lineman on the Circle of Swarm last year?
He had a couple bad plays, but like by and large, like he was steadily consistent. Did some things physically that I liked. Yes.
Okay, so our whole narrative after week one, where they shuffled everybody,
because
Ingram was hurt, and we're like, really, Ed Ingram can't play, so we got to shuffle the whole. Ed Ingram can't play, so. All is lost.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it.
Turns out he's pretty good.
And I went through yesterday, and I was looking for. I was feeling this, the weight and the pressure of all the negativity of the last few days. So I just went in and watched the Texans' positive runs.
Yeah.
Or the non-stuff runs, and Ed Ingram on a couple of those, just doing everything the right way, working up the linebackers, staying attached, all of those things. So like they can build on some of the things they did when they were running to the right side in that game.
My next one, and maybe even my next two, might fit this category. This one is somebody who definitely impacted the game on Monday and who I'm hoping gets more opportunities to impact the game moving forward, not just Sunday, but moving forward. I'm skeptical he'll be able to do it on offense just because of what the Texans are getting back. But I don't know how you can't have Jalen Nowell in the Circle of Swarm this week.
Oh, yeah.
Even before that 54-yard or 53-yard punt return that set up the Texans' final score, that set up their touchdown, even before that, he was nails in the kickoff return game.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, really good in the return game, Jalen Knoll. And he's somebody, look, he flashed throughout training camp. I think if Jalen Knoll gets on the field, he can do some things for you. Now, as you pointed out, Seth, especially in this Patriot offense, slot receiver is like a 400-level course for a freshman.
Right.
You know, and so maybe there's some of that going on with Jalen Knoll. You've pointed this out, too, that maybe with Knoll and Higgins, that there's just not – and CJ even kind of pointed this out in his press conference earlier this week, that these are – some of these guys I've not spent a lot of time throwing with yet.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's rookies because they're new to the NFL or whether it's Christian Kirk or Braxton Berrios because they've been hurt. When CJ was asked what are some of the things that you can improve on, his answer was kind of, well, everything, as always. But then he sort of gave a reason why he needs to improve, and the reason he gave was just maybe a lack of chemistry early on here with those receivers. I'm putting Jalen Knoll in the circle of swarm based on his impact on last week's game and my hope for further impact moving forward.
Here. Okay. I'm going to go with...
It's your last one here. Make it count, buddy.
Tyme Fairbairn.
Is this the second week that we've put Fairbairn in the circle
of trust?
Yeah,
about Evan. I'm not even like... how was he on the kickoffs? And the actual...
The special teams were good overall in the game.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the... Did he have any touchbacks that shouldn't have been touchbacks or anything?
They did have one.
They had a touchback.
They had a touchback. They started the 35, I think, their first possession.
I think I can rely on him, I feel like, for now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So no Nico for the catch he had, the toe tapper in the back of the end zone?
No, he had three catches.
No, Derek Stingley Jr. for how he battled
for
how he battled with Mike Evans.
No. Okay, I retract Kaimi. Yeah, no, that was that was in bad faith by me because I was
EJ Speed
at some. No, you're 100% Derek Stingley.
Stingley had a good
game. No, because Stingley had a battle, and I think early on people were wondering like, is this a continuation of Stingley?
Evans was getting his early in that game.
Yeah, it was good. Look, it was a battle. It was a battle, and ultimately Evans being that was a battle, and it was I think Stingley. Got better and better as the game went on.
He absolutely did, and I'll make it a cumulative thing. I know he's your pick, but I'm adding on to
now
it
now. He's your pick. You righted it wrong. Yeah.
No, that's okay. But I think two things with Stingley. One that he bounced back from whatever happened with that hip injury in week one.
Yeah,
I feel like if that happened before the All-Pro season he had last year, like if that happened at the beginning of last season,
mm-hmm.
we would have felt like, all right, well, Stingley's going to miss 5 games with this hip injury.
Yeah.
But that 17-game season he played last year, I think has really flipped the narrative on him. And the fact that, man, he wasn't even limited in practice that week. So he comes back. By the end of that game, Stingley has these plays in games that he has these pass breakups where he just kind of just steps in and just knocks it down that – he makes it look so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like for most of these defensive backs in the NFL, the plays that Stingley is breaking on with lightning-like speed and knocking away, it's a catch for Evans that a cornerback is coming up and making a tackle on him.
Yeah.
Stingley has such great closing speed. He's able to reach in and knock it away. He had at least two of those in the game. Stingley was great in the game. So yeah, no good. So Derek Stingley Jr. All right. So my last one here, man, I want to put Woody Marks in here. But two rookies that didn't touch the ball very much. Man, Woody Marks had three carries for 17 yards, three productive carries, and a 37-yard catch and run in this game. And blitz pickup, he needs to... Daria Gumbawale cannot play any more offensive snaps for this team. Whatever snaps you had Daria in for, put Woody Marks in there and let him pass protect. Mm-hmm. He does it better than a guy who's a 10-year... You know what? Screw it. I'm putting him in. Woody Marks, Circle of Swarm. I did it. I put two rookies who maybe had a total of like 10 snaps in the Circle of Swarm.
Woody Marks was one of the guys you actually felt good about.
You can count on him.
Guess how many snaps he had on offense in that game?
10.
13. Yeah. Like that's
unacceptable.
How much more does Woody Marks have to do to show that he belongs on the field more? Well, he's a rookie. Well, quit being cowards. Honestly, quit being cowards. Yeah. What are you doing? Oh no, I'm the rookie. He's gonna screw everything up.
Yeah.
He's gonna do something for you. He's doing something.
100%.
He's got a pulse.
Well, and the vet that you're using is failing you right now.
I know. This is a bad thing. Like, how many guys, how are we deciding who we put on the field?
Yeah.
The good guy award, the good fella. Like, oh, he's logged a lot of hours on his tablet.
Yeah.
Like, okay, at some point, can we make our decisions based on performance?
Right.
And, just,
good.
If he doesn't get, I don't know what I'm going to do if I come in and he doesn't get more snaps this week. I'm going to flip the hell out. If they win, I'll back it off a little bit. But right. It's all like, and this is part, like, sometimes this is another.
I think them winning something is stuff like having Woody Marks in there is part and parcel of winning.
Something that used to annoy me about Bill O'Brien, it's like, yes, the process matters. And yes, you want to have guys that work really hard and everything. But at the end of the day, you make your decisions based on who's performing.
I got you.
Right.
Got you.
Like, okay, it's just a prerequisite that you work hard. Working hard does not get you an A on the test.
Yes.
It's just like, nope. To be allowed on the field, you have to work hard. Okay, cool. Check off that box.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you make your decisions not on who works the hardest, but who performs the most.
100%.
13 snaps.
Yeah. Someone's reminding you, though, Seth, that the rookies,
they don't know anything.
They don't really know. Yeah. They don't know anything. Yeah. That's what Bill O'Brien.
They don't look at him. He's just out there like blocking people and catching the football.
They don't know anything.
You know, and running for positive yardage, but he doesn't know how he's doing it.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Why would I put somebody out there who's performing and doing good things for the team, but he doesn't quite know everything?
They don't know anything. It's not just blocking and tackling. They don't know anything, Seth.
This is like
they don't know any things.
Yeah, yeah.
Zero things.
Like Nick Haley's sitting there like he's a high school teacher for a young Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
And you're like, he's a senior in high school, this kid. What a clown. Riding a train at the speed of light. What this kid's on drugs.
Stupid. Yeah. Don't know anything.
This guy, imagine Einstein's teacher in the teacher's lounge. You're like, get a load of what freaking Albert was saying this morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He tried to tell me that he was, imagine riding a train at the speed of light. I don't know what's wrong with these kids these days.
Stupid.
What an idiot.
Stupid. All right. Hey, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. It's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, do we need to check on a baby registry as a show? Do we need to check on a baby? I'll tell you who it is.
Am I about to have my 13th?
Coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I Payne and Pendergast with you on a football Friday. Seth and I solve a lot of the world's problems during the break.
We were talking about how to, you know, get divorced. How do you ease your kids into, you know, new relationships or whatever?
Right.
And I told Sean, you should have, when you got divorced, you should have just taken your two boys.
Taken 10-year-old James and 9-year-old Sammy.
You should have just taken them out to the bars. Taken them out, like, show them what the real world's all
Here's
about.
The real world.
Yeah.
Yep. I wasn't in yesterday. Did you and Brandon publicly congratulate Cardi B and Steph Diggs?
No, because this is the thing. So I see it getting reported as breaking news in all of this that Stephon Diggs and Cardi B are having a child together.
Yeah.
Or did they have it already?
No. Okay. She's pregnant right now. Yeah.
How's that work? Baby's inside her. So eventually they'll have a baby together. And I feel like everybody already knew it. It's just that this was the official announcement, or was it only rumors before that?
She left the court. We played the audio. We'll play the audio again here. A couple of weeks ago, she was walking out of a courtroom after there was some resolution to some court case involved in, a civil case. And she looked pregnant walking out of the courtroom, and there was the paparazzi asking her if it was Offset, her ex, who she has three kids with, that was the father of the child that she looked to be having walking out of the courtroom.
Hey, Cardi, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
Cardi, insiders are claiming that Offset is publicly bragging about getting you pregnant for the fourth time. Do you foresee any paternity issues with Stephon Diggs?
Stop disrespecting me. Don't disrespect me. Cardi, how you feeling?
Cardi, your court look is amazing.
You're amazing, Cardi. I still love you, even though you just threw some stuff at me.
Don't do that. Do you see women asking those type of questions to me?
No, ma'am.
She's a queen.
It's a legit question.
Why do you feel as a man you get to ask me those type of questions? Act like you have some manners.
That's right.
And your mama taught you, respect women.
That's right. You look gorgeous, Cardi. Go ahead, Bronx. You were so...
And you could thank him. I'm not playing around. I was very nice. I was very kind. But you're not going
to... Cardi, I love you. That's a question.
Nobody's
going to
get that.
Cardi's at the top of the list of rappers, male or female, that I would not want to make angry. She's got a temper.
Yeah.
And that's why she's in the courtroom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I love that reporter, by the way. That's journalism in 2025. Hey, yo, Cardi!
I don't even know. Pregnant. I guess it was referred to as a... I'm guessing it's some kind of paparazzi.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, total paparazzi. Yeah, no, I'm joking.
So, yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't pay much attention to this stuff. And I just thought over the last few days, I had basically seen people say that Stephon Diggs was the father.
So here was Cardi B with Gayle King.
I'm saying even before this Gayle King interview.
Here's a Gayle King interview from a couple days ago where it's made official by Cardi B.
I want to start right away with, you know, because the rumors on the street, the streets be talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so the latest rumor about you is that you are having a baby, and I want to know what, if anything, you want to share about that with the class.
Well, yes, I am. I'm having a baby with my boyfriend, Stephon Diggs.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. How are you feeling about that? And that this will be baby number four for you, Cardi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm happy. I feel like I'm in a good space. I feel very strong. I feel very powerful that I'm doing all this work, but I'm doing all this work while I'm creating a baby. Me and my man, we're very supportive of each other. We're like in the same space in our careers.
Yeah, man.
So we don't know for sure that it's Stephon Diggs.
No, it is.
Baby.
She just said it was.
She said she's having a baby with Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
What?
Well, I took that to mean that Stephon Diggs impregnated her, that this is a group effort with the two of them.
She's having a baby.
Yeah.
With Stephon Diggs. That could be interpreted multiple different ways.
So you're saying Stephon Diggs is like Michael Scott was with Jan, where Jan goes to some...
I don't know if he knows it. Maybe he doesn't know it. Could he be Offset's kid? I don't know. She's having a baby with Stephon Diggs. If you have two people that are, if somebody has a surrogate.
I've never known that phrase to imply that Stephon Diggs is just going to Lamaze classes
If a woman has, like, her father, if a woman's husband doesn't, is infertile or whatever. Not infertile. Not,
in vitro?
He can't have babies.
Oh, infertile. Yeah, yeah.
No, the woman's infertile. Whatever. If he can't knock her up. Okay. So she gets...
impotent.
He could be physically okay, but not being able to knock her up. Anyway, if he just got, he doesn't have a low sperm count.
Yeah.
Impotent means you can't.
Well, that's ED.
Get other things. No, impotent doesn't mean. Impotent means you've got rigidity issues.
Oh, I thought that was ED, and that impotent means
they're
that you
both,
got no
ED is the way you say impotent on radio, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, impotent means you can't achieve certain things, pregnancy, whatever.
Yeah.
There's guys who are impotent that can't get
women. Can we just congratulate Stephon Diggs and Cardi B on this baby?
I don't know
why
if I can congratulate
him. Why are you being so
belligerent
about this?
I don't know if I can congratulate him.
I'm trying to do something nice for Stephon Diggs and Cardi B.
Anyway, so to go back to it. If a woman, her husband has a low sperm count and they can't conceive, so she goes to a sperm bank and she gets pregnant. She would still say, yeah, we're having a baby together.
Okay.
Because he's going to be there alongside
okay.
her.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So intent on ripping this baby from Stefon Diggs?
I'm not. Apparently, he's not. I'm not trying to rip it from him or anything. I'm just saying we don't know exactly. There's potential for more trauma.
So we need
here.
To have a follow-up interview with Cardi B where she confirms that, no, what I meant was Stefon Diggs impregnated me.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I don't really care. There's not a, like, I have zero interest in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Stefon Diggs, he apologized to the media before the Patriots season about the way he had maybe treated people during training camp.
Doing some things that a good father would not do.
Yeah.
Handing out pink powder to randos on a boat.
Well, no, it was the way he treated the media afterwards or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Everything seems to be good in his life. He's not our concern anymore.
Okay, so you do, it sounds like, this is what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
You do not want to chip in with me for a gift for Stefon Diggs and Cardi B.
No.
Back in the day, you and Meltzer chipped in for Lance McCullers.
Right, because he was currently on the team.
Yeah.
We gave him a wedding present.
We
went to his wedding registry and found the cheapest possible thing we could get.
Right.
I think it was napkin holders or
something. That's what I'm going to do for Cardi B and Steph Diggs. I thought you might want to chip in and make it a Payne and Pendergast.
Oh, no, he's dead to me. I don't, it's cool. I hope he does well and everything. But as far as him not being anybody.
Ben?
Yeah.
Do you want to chip in with me?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to be buying like the 100 cartons of diapers all by myself.
Yeah. He's not on the team anymore.
Yeah, but I liked him. I enjoyed him while he was here. And I find her to be delightful.
I'm while he's here. I'm also glad that I'm glad that he's not here while also having a baby with
Cardi B?
Yes.
You are not a good radio host then.
I guess.
We should want this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Was it awesome when James Harden was going out with a Kardashian, had his worst season of his career?
I mean, it wasn't
that
good.
That was awesome,
wasn't
good it?
For basketball, but it was fun content, I would say.
Who was the other most notable celebrity? Verlander, it was always like Verlander had been married already, and they had their relationship going, and it was no big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't need any kind of,
I feel like James Harden had like three or four of them.
I put on a brave face, but when C.J. Stroud was seen with James Harden's ex-girlfriend there.
Amber Rose. Yeah.
I was a little nervous.
Yeah,
right?
I was too.
I was a little nervous. I was like, all right, boy, we don't need to be led astray here, all right? Let's keep the main thing the main thing.
Like he says. Yeah.
Don't make Amber Rose your main thing. Yeah. My God. Please.
Meanwhile, according to TMZ, Diggs has paternity drama going on with some influencer that he got with several months ago.
So he's trying to say that I'm not having a baby with her, because of me.
With Aileen Lapira, who is known as Lord Giselle on the influencer sites.
Yeah.
You know, on the Instas and whatnot. But Cardi B is who he may or may not, according to Seth, be having a baby with.
I don't know. I said the same thing when, remember when Clay Travis asked Tim Tebow if he was a virgin?
Yeah.
And he didn't answer yes or no. He said, I'm saving myself for marriage. Which opens up to the whole concept of born-again virgins and all that stuff.
You are not going to let these slip past you.
He didn't ever know. In the court of Seth Payne's judgment law, I'm like, oh, no, it's a yes or no. It's yes or no.
I love that you're interpreting this as Cardi B might be just saying that Stefon Diggs is going to be alongside her while she has somebody else's baby.
Apparently, it is just male infertility, by the way, if you just can't conceive.
There you go. Yeah. All right. 8 o'clock hour coming up. All right, the Texans are on the cusp of continuing history here. The five most memorable plays from this improbable 11-game road division win streak that hopefully becomes 12 on Sunday. Stay there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.